Joshua Toomey here of the Talk To Me podcast. And before we get into this next episode on the CMS Podcast Network, let's talk about the Talk To Me t-shirt. It is awesome. It has a skull, pizza, and headphones, all the great things in life. So if you want to support the Talk To Me podcast, head over to talktomepod.com, scroll to the bottom of the screen, order yourself a Talk To Me t-shirt. Let your friends and family know that you support the Talk To Me podcast, and that would be much appreciated. So once again, guys, talktomepod.com, and now on to the episode you actually came to see. All right, guys, let's welcome the great Howard Jones back to the Talk To Me podcast. Howard, how are you today?
Can't complain.
Once again. Man, I just have to start out with the new album, You Will Be the Death of Me, out June 25th. Always amazing. And, man, what a great album.
Oh, thanks, man.
Did you enjoy getting back?
I never know what to say to that.
You're killing me. No, man, it's since the days of Killswitch and even before that, man, you've always put out quality work, and this does not tarnish the legacy, I guess. How about that for you?
Yeah, that's a little overwhelming, but it was a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Nice. So did you guys do this kind of all through quarantine, or how did you pull this one off?
Actually, we pretty much got it done right before that started. And then the whole mixing, mastering, that was a journey. Right. So a lot of that had happened before then.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, I mean, I've definitely stayed busy during the quarantine, but yeah, we had the majority of that done.
So just on the topic of quarantine, I mean, I know you're kind of a self-isolator anyway. So, I mean, was quarantine rough on you, or did you get a little antsy, or how was it for you, man?
Yeah. For me, it was kind of like as long as I had something to occupy my brain,
right,
I was okay. I think everybody was affected. You know, there's definitely friends and family and things like that that were touched by COVID, right. But I guess the introvert part doesn't hurt.
It's funny, the lockdowns and the quarantines and shows getting canceled and all that kind of made me realize how much of a introvert I might be, because now that tours are getting announced, I'm kind of almost getting a little anxious, that I'm like, you're going to be invited out to shows, and I'm like, all right, here we go again,
Yeah, it's like, do I have to breathe your breath now? It's right. Been a while. But yeah, it's like part of me is just like, I've kind of enjoyed the bit of freedom and not being locked into the touring schedule, but at the same time, you start to miss it after a while.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be fun to get out to a show. Where I am, they've lifted the mask mandate. It's kind of like a mask if you want to. And most people are like, oh, well, I guess that means we don't have to wear them anymore. So it's pretty crazy to walk into a gas station and whatnot and like starting to get around people again. Even though I'm fully vaccinated, it's still kind of like, you're still uneasy around people. It's just a weird uneasiness, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be some gun shyness. I get it.
But until your favorite band comes on and your favorite song is on, and then next thing you know, you're going to be in the middle of the pit screaming every word and spit flying everywhere. So it'll be fun, though. This summer will be fun, man.
Oh, yeah. It's only a matter of time before everybody's sweating on each other.
dude, I do not look forward to that part.
Yeah. It's flavor.
Pit flavor.
Oh, boy.
If you could just bottle that up, put that on some chips.
You could probably sell it at Warped Tour.
Warped Tour. It'd be like those wrap snacks, but it'd be like the exact opposite, you don't get like Biggie Small chips. You get Mosh Pit chips.
The thing is, that's dad joke enough to work.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's crazy in the, you know, in the hip hop community. You know, you've got those rap snacks where, you know, you can buy, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony, you know, Pringles.
Yeah. But, yeah, but Migos have yeah. Their own chip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. But, you know, Jamie Jostin, get on it, man.
I think he did the Josta pasta. So, I mean, mm-hmm. Normally, you know, in this world, you know, you would get looked down upon that if the Howard Jones Light the Torch, you know, beef jerky came out. But now, you know, it's like, I'm sure it's headed that way, man.
I'm trying to think of a pun and nothing's coming to mind.
Howard Jones bones, you know, like Howard Jones boneless wings, you know, you could go and go somewhere.
Wings.
Oh, and you know, and now, you know, these jokes will be the death of us, right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
That kind of stings the nostrils.
There we go.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, man. You know, I did want to dive into the cover a little bit, the Terrence Trent D'Arby cover, man. It's pretty awesome that you chose to do that. I had to go back and kind of revisit the original, but man, you guys put a nice spin on it. I liked it.
Yeah, that was definitely Fran's idea. You know, we're just listening to a playlist with a bunch of 80s songs that we were both fans, and he didn't know I was real familiar with the song, and next thing I knew, there was music in my hands really fast. I was like, wow, that was quick. So, yeah, and it was just like, this is really cool. It's a really cool interpretation. So, yeah, we just kind of went for it.
Is that something you do a lot where you'll just be listening to music and you're like, you know, we could heavy this up or I could do a cool version of this? Or, you know, do you do that a lot in the car or anything like that?
No. I mean, I think I have, but at the same time, my head's in a million different places, so who knows?
Right. Well, this does kind of, you know, continue on the various covers from over the years. Do you enjoy doing the covers? You know, back to the what was it, the Holy Diver and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, thing is, it's like I don't know if any of them that I did was something I planned. They right. just kind of happened, you know, or just that opportunity arose. I don't know if I've recorded one where I thought, ooh, that's what I'm doing. And, but, you know, it worked out.
In my limited band knowledge, you know, or being in bands and things like that, you know, covers always kind of end up just being like someone at the practice room is goofing off of the riff, and then all of a sudden you're playing, you know, Shout by Tears for Fears live. Like, how did we get here?
Yeah, that can happen. And but honestly, that was like Holy Diver. I think we got, what was that, Kerrang. I think we got asked to do that for. And yeah, I was just thinking it was going to be a one-off, and I was very wrong.
And now you have like a platinum record on the wall because of that.
It's unexpected.
Yeah, it was a great cover though. I mean, you can't go wrong with that one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And yeah, I don't put anything. Everything's still in their boxes.
Right. Well, Mike D was on recently talking about that album, and we talked about the cover, and we've actually pulled the video up, and what a fun video. He's talking about, you know, just being in the castle all day and things like that and being a little cold. What are your memories of that castle?
Yeah, that it was cold. yeah, it was just a really long, long day.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, and plus, you know, we're all hanging out, so that's always fun. But
right,
long, long cold, and yeah, those things can retain the chill.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how they lived in castles back in the day without central heating and air, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how they did a lot of things back then. Yeah, your refrigerator was a hole in the ground, you know?
Right.
Your bathroom was a hole in the ground.
Hopefully a separate hole in the ground, yeah.
And everybody didn't live long, so your parents were in a hole in the ground. So, yeah.
I fell into a rabbit hole of a Netflix documentary the other day of, like, medieval castles, and they were just talking about the lineage of these people that own the castle. And at some point, you know, at some points along the way, like a 6-year-old would own it because that was the heir to the castle. And you're just like, could you imagine, like, the ruler of the land was 7 years old, you know?
Yeah, wasn't that on The Simpsons where Milhouse and Bart bought a whole, like, warehouse? They bought a factory for, like, a dollar.
Right. That's that's probably really going to happen with Matt Groening and all of his, things that have come true from The Simpsons.
That's true. It has been hilariously prophetic at times.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man, all the stuff. I mean, I guess some of the stuff you could kind of guess what happened, but some of it, yeah, it's pretty crazy, accuracy of some of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
As we were getting ready, I saw a list of 6 records that you like pop up, and I was pretty surprised on a couple of them. Not that they're not great albums, but they don't get a lot of talk about or whatever. But the debut from Life of Agony, man, what an incredible record.
Oh, love that album. And it's just easy for me to revisit. And yeah, just that guitar tone was fantastic. It's like, whoa, that is heavy. Right. And just is. And his voice was so different, and now Mina just killing it. Life of Agony, yeah, it's just always going to have that special place for me.
Yeah, we would go and see them a lot. Actually, the first time they came through, I grew up in Nashville, so the first time they came through, they were opening for Carcass. Did not get to see that because I was too young. The second time, I believe, was like Typo Negative, one of those bills, one of those many times they played together. But mm-hmm. But what an amazing band, what an amazing group of guys and girls now. And the one thing I'll never forget is, I guess someone spit on Mina at the time, Keith. And as soon as the show was over, the three of the other guys, Alan and Joey and all, jumped into the crowd like, who spit on Keith? And like, just all of a sudden, New York City just bursted out, and like, they just they started fighting everybody. It was pretty awesome.
But yeah, I saw them quite a bit. That was, that's just one. It's just so easy to listen to for me.
Yeah, like the skits and everything too, and just it's one of those albums you could put on from start to finish and not have to turn off, and kind of go on that journey. And obviously, I think I listened to it. I was in high school at the time, so I mean, it kind of fit into, because there's a young kid in there, and he's getting yelled at by his mom and all that stuff, and you're like, yeah, I get all that.
Oh yeah, and me and my friend, it's just a lot of good memories too. It's just me and my friends going to see him all the time, and those were the good old days when I would be up there doing that stuff.
Getting all the sweat.
Oh yeah.
If you want to relive that, try our new mosh chips. But
did you have to revisit?
Oh. Hey, we gotta go there. It's a callback. It's comedy. The other one, one of the others was for a long time a dollar bin staple, was Angel Dust by Faith No More. And so I think I bought that album like 900 times, because every time I saw it in the cutout bin, I bought another copy of it. But man, that's another musical journey that just takes you, all across different styles.
Every song is a whole different thing. And just the way they evolved from Mike Patton's first album with them to that one is just such a big leap.
Oh yeah.
And that's the thing. It's just, it doesn't matter what you're in the mood for. It's just like that album has it.
Right. Was Mike Patton a big influence on you as a vocalist?
Probably. I mean, I really enjoyed Faith No More since Angel Dust. I really dug deep into him. So yeah, I'm sure that's the thing. If it's something you listen to, it's probably influencing you.
Well, normally, you say the word Mike Patton to a vocalist, and it's like, just gushing praise. And
he's amazing. But it's just at the same time, I don't think I sound like him. But at the same time, I've heard I do. So I'm like, I'm sure if I do, it's because I've listened to him a lot, and there's probably some influence.
Right. Well, that's one of the things that somebody says you do. That's where you just say, thank you. thank you so much. Like,
not going to knock that one. I'm cool right. with it.
And the other one on the list is Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power, which, you can never go wrong with any Pantera, especially Vulgar Display of Power.
Yeah. I mean, you could choose any number of those albums. You know, it just depends on which one you got introduced to or which one clicked for you.
Did you see them many times over the years, like it maybe like Blossom or anything like that growing up in the, you know, in the Ohio area?
I honestly don't know if I got to see the original lineup, or I did, but yeah, I don't think I did.
How was the music scene kind of growing up there? Did you grow up in Cleveland or Columbus?
Columbus.
Okay. So did you make it up to Cleveland much or things like that? Yeah. Did you play shows up in like Ron's Crossroads and Akron, places like that?
I mean, I was playing some shows, didn't hit all those places then, but I would definitely I'd go to Cleveland and see bands play. And I mean, that was, yeah, Cleveland's the first place I saw like Sick of It All and
nice.
Going to the Integrity and all that good stuff.
Yeah, there's definitely something in the water in that part of the part of the country for so many great bands to come out of like that.
I think it's because there's not, I don't know, maybe there's just not advantages. You know, it's like it's Ohio, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, and the one thing is nice about that, and I felt that growing up in Nashville, it's kind of like, you know, 3-4 hours in every direction, you're going to hit a major city. In Cleveland, I feel like is that kind of that way too, where, you know, you could set up a good couple weekend tours here and there and just go and, you know, 4 hours this way, 4 hours that way, and you're going to hit a few major cities.
Yeah, and that was the nice thing is being in Ohio, you could definitely do just the whole surrounding area. So it was fun, you know, yeah. But moving to the East Coast and starting to do music out there, for me, that was probably a really good thing. Well, I mean, yeah, it was probably a great thing, since I'm sure none of this would have happened if I hadn't done that.
Right. I know you obviously don't love compliments too much or don't know how to take them or whatnot, but I mean, anytime I've had the guys in Killswitch on, Unearth and you know, Shadows Fall, all those guys in that scene, you know, when that started kind of popping up, man, did you realize that you were on the verge of like kind of a starting a new thing and you know, participating in kind of a genre shift?
Nope. Not at all. It was part of the work and part of the fun of it, and it's just that's not where my head is. I'm kind of caught up in what I'm doing and trying to just do the job.
Right.
So I don't go too far into thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, I always, and I've said this many times, and it's one of those things where people that do listen to the podcast a lot probably sick of me talking about it. But you know, I grew up in the nu metal era, so we played a lot of, you know, zeros and ones on the guitar, and then we started hearing Unearth and Killswitch Engage, and like, oh, we can play guitar solos again, you know, kind of that vein, and like, you know, because we all grew up on Megadeth and Metallica, and then we started, you know, getting into Korn and Limp Bizkit and whatnot, and then the quote unquote, you know, the Boston scene and the, you know, New England hardcore scene and all that stuff kind of popped up, and I'm assuming to be a part of it, man, that's got to be crazy looking back.
Yeah, you look back and it's just, yeah, there was a lot of bands birthed out of that.
Yeah.
Kind of unexpected, but it had always been that way. Just like Worcester, Mass, just there was always a place to play in Worcester, and there was always bands coming from that area or the surrounding area. And so if it was Vermont, New Hampshire, Mass, Connecticut, there was always a lot of bands around. And there was always a lot of intertwining.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can definitely look at those early lineups of a lot of bands. And it's a lot of, you know, this guy played with that guy who also played with that guy. These two guys played together. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to fall down those rabbit holes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of band incest on the East Coast.
Right. And I think that, you know, the Killswitch model, the Killswitch sound, and I will get off that in a second, but I think that ended up being one of the most plagiarized, you know, writing styles that's still on today. You know, it's like the screaming and the singing, which, I mean, obviously you guys didn't create, but there's something about the Killswitch sound that's still to this day, you'll hear a new local band, you're like, that's kind of sounds like Into Heartache. You know, still happens, man. Yeah, so.
I'll take the compliment. but yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, we definitely wasn't like the first one to do it, and
right,
but okay,
there we go. Well, I'll take it. how have you enjoyed that? And I know you guys didn't get to do a lot of it yet, and I know that the talks of it are coming back around, but you know, being in Light the Torch and playing shows with Killswitch, has that been therapeutic for you? Has it just been a nice place to you know, rekindle a friendship with the old guys and also play to some fans that obviously already know you, things like that?
Oh, it's been fun, and wasn't really rekindling because never stopped being right. in touch with those guys. So it's good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see when we can get all this going again.
And with the, with Light the Torch, do you feel like you're kind of getting, I guess like every time you start, you stop because you know, you're the devil, you know, and then you got to stop and make a name change. And then we got Light the Torch. We got the album out and coronavirus. It's like a start stop. We're trying to forge ahead and to get this to get, you know, get this going, and it kind of feels like there's a lot of obstacles in the way.
Yeah, but that's kind of what life is. I mean, nothing's really smooth in life. Right. I mean, there's moments where things go well, but I don't know. It's not that I expect problems, but it's just things happen. And it's just, and spending a lot of time being upset or bummed out about that, so it's a waste of energy. It's just like changing the name. Once I decided, it's like, yeah, this is done. It's done. And so I didn't look back. So it's just part of what life is for me. I don't really dwell on it that long. It's just part of it.
Right. I can see you see being very frustrating. Like, as soon as, you know, you do the big tour with Devil Driver, Hate Breed, and Devil You Know's out there. So you're like, oh, and then you got to kind of almost scratch it and start over. You know, there's going to be people that know, but then there's also going to be those people that went to the shows and were like, whatever happened to that Devil You Know band?
I'm so glad that we left that behind. But yeah. That's the thing. I try not to get too disappointed because something's gonna happen and make up for it. I mean, that's, and I'm really not trying to be this, oh, I'm Mr. Positive or anything. Really not like that. It's just like, it'll work out. And that's honest. And anyone who knows me, they know that that's just how I am. Like, it'll work out. Things will work out. It'll just take time.
And on another note, I mean, I know you do a lot of side stuff with, like, you know, I saw that the single from, I believe, Crowbot just popped up, you know, with you on it. And, you know, what else are you working on right now outside of Light the Torch collaborations? Did the Michael Sweet collaboration ever come to light? You guys, that was great just to hear you on a podcast with him, you know, even though you just kind of hung out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just that had been plotted for a little while. So, I'll definitely. If that happens, I'll definitely sit in. I'm a big fan of Mike. So, yeah, nothing's happened with that yet, but yeah, we'll see. That's kind of the nice thing with Jamie and being friends with him. He plots. He's always right. Got something going. So, yeah, there's always something up our sleeve. We've still got a couple of projects that that we have to address. So, there's that, and I've got a couple other things that I'm working on that'll see the light of day. So yeah, that's what keeps me sane. It's just right. I stay busy, and it keeps me sane.
With, you know, when you get approached by like a D. Snyder or you know, even if Michael Sweet calls and says, "Hey Howard, let's do something," do you have a hard drive full of riffs and ideas and lyrics and, you know, melodies and things like that? Or is it all just kind of like, all right, now we're working with this guy, I got to get in this frame of mind?
Well, I mean, I guess it all depends on the project. And I try to write every day, even if it's just a little bit or a lot, you know, just so it's there, but also just to kind of keep me in the mind frame of writing. But generally, I almost never use any of it. I just end up writing there on the spot. And that's it. Even though I have used some stuff that I've written before, but yeah, it just kind of worked out that way. It's like with that Dee Snider song. I stopped in the studio and Jamie let me listen to the music. It's just one of those that came pretty quick. A song, I'm the Hurricane on the, yeah, I wrote in about 15 minutes and went outside and made a phone call and we dealt it and there it was. It's like, wow, that worked out. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. And then there's other ones that just drag out, songs that drag out forever and have like 10 iterations of, you know, it's just,
right.
You know, the stuff that makes this tedious. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I like the side stuff. I like keeping my brain occupied. And if an opportunity comes and it's of interest and I have the time, yeah, I'll go for it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The one thing about D is he is such a good dude. Like when I had him on the podcast a couple of years ago, you know, he stopped and I was like, hey, you know, I normally don't do this, but my son, who is 5, loves, you know, we're not going to take it, wants to hear it in the car when we're driving to daycare. I was like, would you give a little shout out to him? And, you know, D kind of talks fast, but when he spoke to my son, he slowed it down. He got into dad mode, you know, said, hey, you got an awesome dad. And it was just, it was one of the greatest things I could have done on here. And I think it'll be especially cooler once he gets older.
That's like, awesome.
Man, Dad, that was cool. You did that for me or whatever. But yeah, it was D is a great dude.
Yeah. And still sounds amazing.
Yeah. The live DVD was great. I loved watching that.
Yeah. It's been really cool to be able to do some stuff with him. Lucky, man. Been real lucky. It's still kind of weird to me. Like, wow, what is my life sometimes? But
yeah, that's definitely weird, especially if, you know, Michael Sweet pops up. I know you're gigantic into the Christian metal world and you know, those dudes in like Believer and Tourniquet and all those guys. You know, so.
Yeah, it was, I mean, like getting to do a song with Believer and actually put out that album. That's when I had a little imprint off of Metal Blade. So I actually put that album out.
Oh, wow.
One of the many weird things I've done. Right. What am I doing? But that's growing up with a lot of that stuff, and it's just been fun to, you know, get to meet some of these guys, and like once again, like, oh, lucky guy.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you, man. I'll go ahead and start wrapping it up on this one, but you know, new album, like I said, man, absolutely awesome. I can't wait for it to actually come out. Comes out June 25th, my birthday, June 24th. I know you did that. You know, that was the not coincidental.
But, no, it was on purpose.
you're like, when is his birthday? Let's put it out on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's pretty awesome, man. And I appreciate your time today, Howard.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll see what happens here. Hopefully we can get out on the road and
I've seen
all that good stuff.
Man, that Furnace Fest lineup that you guys are on, at first I thought it was a like throwback Thursday, you know, lineup to something that happened in 2004. And then I started noticing some newer bands on it, and then I realized that it wasn't. It was actually an actual lineup. And I was like, oh my God, this thing looks amazing.
I went to a Furnace Fest maybe, I don't know, 2003, 2004, 2005, something like that. I don't remember these days. But and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, to actually go and get to play and just kick back and watch some bands, it's gonna be a good time. It is a really good line.
any other dates popped up or anything else? You know, obviously I saw the Killswitch and you guys posted, you know, 2022 for the big tour that was with August mm-hmm. Burns Red. But are you eyeballing something for the end of the year, or what are you looking at?
Yeah, we're definitely figuring things out now. Hopefully we'll know something here shortly. That's what we're just trying to map things out. Something to announce soon.
I can tell, judging by my inbox of, you know, new albums and interview requests and things like that, that some things are starting to happen. I know. Yeah. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll, you know, the NFL says full capacity stadium, so the club down the street should also have some full capacity.
Yeah, I think it's coming. You know, we'll see what happens overseas and in Canada and all that good stuff. But I think it's going to slowly start opening, but we'll see.
Or you could just tour Texas, you know, for a month, you know, play all those little Laredos and just stay in Texas.
Just own Texas and Florida.
Yeah. I think you can hit Mississippi too. So just kind of back and forth.
Does anyone hit Mississippi?
Happen? Hey. When there's nowhere else to go, you're going to find Jackson, Mississippi is a great place to play.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm just trying to think. I haven't played Mississippi a lot.
Well, we were in Tennessee, so we played. We would do a Nashville, Memphis, Jackson, New Orleans mm-hmm. little circle. So, yeah. So, you know, play there a few times.
Yeah. I'm sure I have, but I'm old. It's blanking out.
Last question for you, man. How was 50 years? How was turning 50? I know you'd be 51 soon, but
it was a little different than 49. I don't know. It was not a big deal. I feel okay. So yeah.
I posted this yesterday, but it's crazy that Phil Anselmo is 52 and you're 50.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh wow. I always just assume Phil is, you know, much older and you, you know, much younger, but you know, you guys are basically the same age.
No, I did not know that. Yeah. I don't think it ever crossed my mind how old he was. I must not have considered him human or something. I don't know.
Well, he's definitely not human, but.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I guess it's kind of the difference between making it at 18, 19, you know, when Pantera started really hitting as opposed to when Killswitch kind of hit, you know, were you in like early 30s, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I was in bands too when that, you know, when that album from Pantera came out, but you know, I was busy being in terrible bands.
Well, definitely not terrible bands, but you know. But yeah. All right, man. Well, Howard, I will let you go. Thank you so much for some time today. And thanks for the laughs. And we'll, I guess my Jamie Josta, you know, mosh snacks didn't. I'll try harder next time, right?
Yeah. I back it, though.
Cool, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
Okay, take care. And we'll see you on the road.
You got it, bro. Thanks.
SexToysClosedOut.com. Visit us at SexToysClosedOut.com and add some toys to your toy box. Let your imagination be the guide to your stress relief. SexToysClosedOut.com has everything for that perfect play night. Alone or not, you choose. Fuel your desires without breaking the bank. SexToysClosedOut.com. SexToysClosedOut.com.